Chris is out, and so is Courtney, and Mego is here for Courtney this morning. And coming up at 9, the last Red Sox front office report before the All-Star break. And with the trade deadline looming, a lot to talk to Craig Breslow about at 9, including, I think it was Morosi reporting yesterday that there may be some mild interest when it comes to Joe Ryan and the Boston Red Sox. I would assume you have to part with Jaron Duran if you're, and maybe prospects if you're going to get that done. But that would certainly satisfy what Wiggy is looking for, which is another arm. Mm-hmm. And so we'll talk to Craig Breslow about all of that stuff coming up during the front office report at 9. But we have leads left this morning, including one from, did we get Chimes' lead? Oh, yeah, yeah, we did. It was forgettable.
It was the scam.
Oh, yeah,
yikes,
it was a scam.
Thanks.
Including one from Mego. Mego, good morning.
Good morning. Okay, so I have a Red Sox lead this morning, and it's pretty simple. The Red Sox have run out of excuses not to buy at the deadline. And it starts with the fact that they already sold big. They already sold on Rafael Devers. And I just feel like you're sitting here and you're trying to pretend like you're constantly operating in this deficit. You already are so much further in the black in terms of the trade deadline. You've already given away $30 million or added $30 million back by giving away that contract and offloading that contract. They told us so much about the financial flexibility that trading Devers would give them. And now it's like, I do feel like we're looking at, okay, Willie Abreu is back, and now Masataka Yoshida's back, and he looks good.
And you're getting Bregman back.
And you're getting Bregman back.
This series, Alex Cora, he said yesterday, it's like you're getting him back, too. Are they going to lean on that?
I'm bracing myself for the, well, there's a log jam in the outfield, and we're getting so many players back. We actually have so much talent. They're on a 6-game win streak. If they extend that beyond the win streak that they've matched so far this season, which is the high, the 6 games, I just don't think you can ask fans to wait until the offseason for the Devers contract coming back to you, basically bearing fruit. You've been out of the postseason for 4 seasons at this point.
Right.
Like, you need to, at some point, push for it.
I think the logjam helps you to push, because with the logjam at a specific position in the outfield helps you to then say, okay, we can move one of these guys and help us in an area where we actually need help, whether that's the bullpen, whether that's your starting rotation. So I think the logjam helps you be able to do that from the Red Sox perspective.
Well, we were talking about it at the start of the show. You can see it in its purest form last night, where Alex Cora has to sit Sadon Rafaela.
Right.
Like, so, but don't you think that Jaron Duran is the odd man out here? Like,
well, he's the odd man out because of performance. If you're looking at the performance of Duran, Roman Anthony, Sadon Rafaela, Willie Abreu, you would say that Duran is still good, but those other guys, just we're talking about right now, are performing better. And also, Duran probably brings you more than you're willing to move on Abreu, or your willingness, because you're probably not moving on Anthony and you're probably not moving on Sadon Rafaela. So,
I mean, a texter says that if you move Duran, then you end up messing with the chemistry.
I don't believe
Do you worry about
that? No, I don't buy that.
I also wonder, everybody seems to think that they have to move one of these guys. Mm-hmm. Craig Breslow, and I want to ask him about this, he was on Nesson's 310 to the Left podcast, and he was asked directly about that logjam in the outfield and said he doesn't think they're in a position where they have to make a trade. So we could continue to see some kind of rotation, even if that means that you're not getting the most out of each individual player. I'd honestly rather see the Red Sox say, we're keeping all of our talent, especially in case there's an injury, than jump and be opportunistic to say, we're going to trade one of these guys because we have redundancy at the position.
Yeah, I mean, so then that means if it's not going to be because of the logjam, that your only value is Chapman, and you have to move...
Or prospects. Trade the prospects. Like, we've been waiting around for these prospects to come up. They're here now. This is kind of the cycle.
So you're saying trade either Anthony or Meyer?
No. I'm saying, in the farm system.
What about Christian Campbell? Like, would you part with Christian Campbell?
I don't know how much he's going to bring you back. And then you sign them to like an 8-year deal. So I don't know if that plays a role into it. I think if you're looking at this year and you're going, all right. So in the offseason, would you then say, okay, I got no problem with trading Duran?
I mean, it's hard to say that when you sit here in July, but yeah, I'd rather see them. I want to see them push for this year.
The reason why I ask that is because if you have no issue with trading Duran, you're saying he's not a piece that we look at as building for the future, then if you can get something of value for him, then you trade him now.
Yeah, my point is this team has been looking towards the future for years at this point. What was the last trade deadline when you could say that they definitely bought?
Right.
It was Schwarber, and at that time, everybody was like, ugh, they didn't do enough.
But they remember, their mindset has changed because whether it was Breslow, whether it was Sam Kennedy. On this show have told us that they feel like this is the year where
they
want to
go for it for this season.
Right. So their mindset is not
saying that.
Show it. Like, my point is they're out of excuses. They kind of ran out of excuses when they made the Devers trade, and then the team shows you anything.
Oh, yeah.
Even if it's against these basement teams, they've shown you enough to say you're at least scrappy, you're in it, you have the money, you have the, quote, financial flexibility. Push for it.
Yeah, all right, Mego, thank you. Wiggy, good morning.
All right, good morning. So this goes out to all of my UFC fans, and I'm a UFC fan now because my middle son has always got me betting on UFC fights, and I feel like I win more money there than anywhere else.
What don't you bet on? You're known as the parlay playboy.
I don't bet on baseball, and I really don't bet. Well, I bet on hockey every now and then, but not as much. A little bit on basketball, but UFC is where I kind of like, that's like my stomping ground. My kid gives me all the information. Well, Trump said, El Presidente, that they were looking to host a UFC event at the White House.
The White House.
Which I think would be a great idea, especially with Jon Jones just retiring.
Uh-huh.
And this would be the perfect opportunity for him to make his return to the UFC, where he fights, I know, the Tom Aspinall guy. It's like they've been, you know, that's what everybody's been waiting for. And who wouldn't want to see Jon Jones? You know, Dana White says he's the greatest pound per pound fighter in UFC history. Mm-hmm. Maybe one of his last fights be at the White House and be on the White House lawn, you know, obviously on a nice summertime night.
Maybe you could get the president and Elon Musk going at each other in an undercard, maybe.
Well, you could do that if you wanted to do that. That would be pretty interesting as well. But, I mean, just think of we know.
What is going on?
Well, because the UFC is major, and
you don't want the UFC at the White House. You know, do you want sporting events at the White House?
Not really.
No, you think?
I don't think so.
It's America.
America's
sports.
It's not appropriate.
I don't think it's appropriate. Yeah. I don't care if it was baseball on the lawn on the
South
Lawn.
It's not appropriate.
I mean, they have an Easter egg rolling contest.
I know. I've been in it before.
I was in it when I was
9 years old.
Really? Mm-hmm. How did you do?
I don't remember.
Who was the president? This is going to make me feel old.
Probably, it must have been Clinton.
It was Bill Clinton?
Yeah, it was Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was he passing notes to your mom or anything?
I don't know.
No,
I'll ask her.
Yeah. I mean, this is America. America.
I know.
Yummy mummies line up over here.
I don't know. I feel like it's disrespectful to the White House.
To the White House?
No. Yeah.
It shows that we as Americans, we love sports. We're able to have a huge, you know, turnout. I think they said that Trump said he could get 25,000 fans there to do this. I like when the UFC travels and goes all over the place into these different events. It would be a nice, cool little trip for me. Maybe I go down to D.C.
Okay.
You know?
Well, Mego says no. Wiggy says yes.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Excellent lead. Speaking of fighting, there is a big one brewing in my adopted home continent of Maine, where in Yarmouth, this very weekend, they are about to celebrate the 60th annual Clam Festival.
All right.
Shine, where's Berkowitz?
Chime.
Chime's behind over there.
Chime.
Not enough clams.
Not enough clams. So, angry vegetarians are threatening to shut the annual clam festival down because there are no vegan options available at the clam festival. Now, this is something that has existed for 60 years. It was okay prior to this particular year. I don't know why you suddenly are deciding that you need to have a vegan option at a clam festival.
You don't. If you're vegan, you just don't go if you don't eat clams.
I mean,
it's just stupid.
You're not required to go to it.
No.
So, I mean, you can watch others who are enjoying eating a clam or two.
What's so annoying about that is vegan is something you choose to be. It's not as though you have a food allergy.
Correct.
I wouldn't think that in most cases. I haven't heard of a doctor saying, you know, sometimes if you go through cancer or something, they'll say you should become a pescatarian. You should do a really low-fat diet. I've never heard of someone being vegan for health reasons. Like, they can't help but be vegan. They can't help but tell you that they're vegan, but they can't help but be vegan. So it's like, okay, you choose to be one thing.
Right.
This is not for you. Right. You chose to be this, and that's not for you. Like, so keep out of it.
You never see meat eaters that are demanding that a meat option be added at the vegan festival.
Take down the squash.
Right?
Yeah, it don't make sense.
If they're doing a tomato festival, you don't see somebody who is clamoring in some Reddit forum demanding that there is a burger option.
Right.
Like to each his own.
And
like,
then a lot of these vegans, they just do it because they think they want to be. There's no way you're a vegan and you're fat. How are you a fat vegan? Like, if you don't eat meat and you're not eating some of these other stuff, but then you're.
Wait, so you're saying if you see a fat vegetarian, you question whether.
That's cap. Yeah, you're a fat vegan. Come on, stop it.
Well,
I ain't buying that one.
The vegan is the super vegetarian. They don't do the dairy.
Right.
They don't wear fur.
This is just vegetarians that have their pants in a bunch over this.
Just don't go. There. Like, if you don't, if you're not, like, if you're a vegan, stay away from the clam festival and stay away from Nathan's hot dog eating contest. Because unless they got a vegan option there for you.
I don't think they have a vegan option there either.
Right, so stay away from that.
Yeah. Well, you know how they make Impossible Burgers and and all those different chickens? Like, it's almost chicken, but it's not. Yeah. It's plant-based. Do they do that for fish stuff at all?
No.
Like, it's...
You mean, like,
it's veggie fish?
The Impossible Clam? Is that what you're saying?
I've had an Impossible Burger at the Wahlburgers, and that thing was damn good.
Did it bleed?
I don't know. It tasted just like a burger. Tasted good to me.
Nah,
it's not a burger, though. I mean,
I know it's, but it tasted like one.
Yeah.
So it's like, it was good.
Okay. Well, I stand with the people of Yarmouth.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
And the 60th annual clam festival.
Mm-hmm.
Give me all the clams. I prefer clams.
Not enough clams.
emergency top five clam entree items. I go.
Number five.
Clams Casino, number one.
Number four.
I love a great fried clam. Mm. I don't know if you like those or not. I don't like the strips. They have to have the belly on there.
Number three.
What other?
Chowder.
Not a huge chowder person. Are you a huge chowder
person? Oh, my God. Yeah. The chowder that they serve in the press box at Patriots games is
to die for?
The best.
Have you ever had it at Sail Loft?
By any chance?
Of course. It's really, really good. Then you have like clam pasta, like a bowl of pasta,
linguine
with clam sauce.
All right.
Any other options that you've ever had when it comes to the clam prep?
I don't eat clams, so I don't have I don't eat seafood.
You've never even tried it,
like a clam cake.
Oh yeah, normally they do like a lobster crab cake.
Yeah,
I guess you could have a clam cake. And then in Rhode Island, they do the stuffed quahog.
Those are delightful.
Too much stuffing for me. That's why I like Clams Casino.
You've never said that before in your life.
Correct. But it's more in the Clams Casino, it's more clam than it is
stuffing.
Casino. Yeah, it's more clam than casino. All right. Well, those are our leads. We're going to get to They Said It coming up next. Right now, Mego filling in for Courtney with what is trending.
WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson. Weekdays 2 to 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Red Sox swept the Rockies with a 10-2 win last night. Led in part by the return of Masataka Yoshida, he went 3-for-4 with a double and RBI in his season debut. Carlos Narvaez, Willy Abreu, Romy Gonzalez, and Jaron Duran all homered for the Sox.
I'm assuming that Yoshida will be your primary DH going,
seems that way,
going forward. Okay.
And
so that doesn't interfere when it comes to the logjam situation if you just park him at DH.
Yeah, but if you park him there all the time, then it might interfere because now maybe Roman Anthony, when he's not in the field, won't be able to DH. But the Yoshida thing, I think, is going to be more of, is there a lefty on the mound? Is there a righty type deal? So I don't think that's going to be an issue.
The Sox have extended their win streak to 6 games, matching their season best. Here's manager Alex Cora on how the clubhouse is feeling. Here's manager Alex Cora.
There's a lot of energy right now. Well, obviously, that comes with winning and swinging the bat well. But we just got to be ready for tomorrow. We got a big series against the Rays. And, just go out there and play hard.
Lionel Messi had 2 goals in the Inter-Miami-New England Revolution match at Gillette Stadium last night. That was enough for a 2-1 win over the Revs, and Messi becomes the first player in MLS history to score multiple goals in 4 straight league matches. The Red Sox welcome the Tampa Bay Rays to Fenway tonight for the first of 4 games. Walker Buehler gets the start for the Sox. You can catch all that here. Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks have the call at 7:10. On the Shaw's Star Market Radio, Red Sox Radio Network, Christian Arcan gets you ready for pregame at 6:10.
All right. Thank you, Mego. Coming up, we will get to They Said It next, a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports.
And Northeastern Savings Bank is the leading alternative to using a big bank for businesses and families in Massachusetts. Upgrade to a local partner. Upgrade to Northeastern Savings Bank, member FDIC and DIF.
Absolute deluge to deal with this morning if you actually have to physically go to work or drive anywhere, drop the kids off at camp or whatever this morning. So we can open up the WEEI Window World of Boston weather window in Curtis's absence, and Chime can tell you how long the rain will last today.
Yeah, if you're going to go out there, Greg, you need an umbrella. It is pouring right now here in the city of Boston. There's actually a flood watch warning. As you mentioned, it's already puddling and ponding out there, so just be careful. Rain is forecasted now up until about 4 o'clock this afternoon. So that's when the flood watch will end. Hopefully that's when the rain will dissipate as well. It's currently 67 degrees here in the city of Boston. The high today is only 71. But the good news, next 3 days look great. Partly sunny, 79, 80, 78 over the weekend. So the weekend looking real nice for you,
like
Greg.
A legit full sun summer weekend.
Yep.
For once.
Correct.
Because we have not had one.
Yeah, and perfect temperature. Not going to be too hot out there, but it's going to be hot enough. You can go out and enjoy your day.
Excellent. All right. You could get a whole house full of windows installed for $99 a month from Window World of Boston. Mego is here for Courtney. Curtis is off for full abusive flex day system for like a week and a half.
What's wrong with that? A week and a half? What is that? That's like 8 shows?
Well, no, he took 2.5 weeks off. It's already been a week.
2.5 weeks.
Oh.
I mean, it's just having your way with the flex day privilege.
May I ask?
Yes.
Peek behind the curtain. How far in advance did he ask for this?
I think it was well in advance. I don't. Wiggy tries to call me soft. I don't have any say in the matter.
Greg has no say.
It is the bland manager, the travel agent, the barista, Ken Laird.
Who also happens to be on vacation.
Who approves the vacation. Yeah. Mm. I mean, honestly, this week, isn't everybody on vacation this particular week?
Feels like it.
You already took your summer vacation.
I did. I took it 2 weeks ago.
Do you feel good about taking it early? I used to always take it in July. Now I'm taking it in August. Mm. And I feel like I like August better because I still have something to look forward to. Like now yours is done. You have nothing to look forward to.
I have nothing at all ever to look forward to. I like being there for training camp. Mm. So part of it is the role I'm in, the reporting role. I feel like I need to be there in August for Patriots stuff.
Right,
and
right.
also I'd Sorry, I'd much rather talk Patriots than Red Sox in June. So end of June, I'll get away.
Are you bullish on these New England Patriots?
A little bit. It's hard to say I'm bullish when you hear other people around the market saying they think they're going to win 11 games. Well, I'm not that bullish. I'm not crazy.
Our pal Ted Johnson on the afternoon show yesterday has them at 10 wins.
Yeah, so does Wiggy.
Yeah.
I'm between seven and nine.
Okay. I think that's reasonable.
Me too. I mean,
you won, as Shine said the other day, you really won three games last season, not four. And so to go from three wins to 10 is.
But then again,
Ted Johnson was using as an example your beloved Washington Commanders
that he
yesterday
did.
Afternoon on yeah, this radio station kinda, and that turnaround.
I kind of feel like every other year there's a different team like that, right?
Yep.
Before the Commanders, it was the Texans. Houston Texans.
Yep.
Oh, look what the Texans did with just basically one draft when a new coach and their quarterback. I think it's still unusual to have that drastic of an improvement. I'm not saying they won't do it. I'm saying I think there's as much chance of them being a 9-win team as being a 7-win team.
So let me ask this question. You believe they can get to 9 wins?
I do.
So you don't think they have the ability to win one more game to get to 10?
Well,
I don't get, of course.
I just don't think it's likely.
So then you don't think it's likely they get to 9 wins?
Well, I think that's on the top end of the scale that I'm looking at. So if you pin me down and say choose one number.
Well,
I'd
that's
say
the
eight.
Purpose of.
I'd say eight.
Okay, so
eight
like
wins.
I said that they're probably a 9-10 win team.
I think there's just so much unknown, which can be a good thing. I know everybody's excited about what they added in free agency for the defense, and everybody loves Mike Vrabel and at least the mentality he's bringing to the team. But
Josh McDaniels,
we haven't seen it in action. Is an upgrade. And I love Drake May, but there's a lot of questions about how is he going to manage the turnovers? How is he going to manage Josh McDaniels' system? How is Josh McDaniels, to Shime's concerns, going to manage Drake May?
Mm-hmm.
And I think all of that is fair to be a little bit skeptical about.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to this.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
They
don't let the Sox win this game.
Said it.
I'm just going to say, they want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
They said it. On the Greg Hill Show.
I'm not talking about this.
Everybody got the message?
They Said It is brought to you by Ketch's Law, and they are honoring those who built this incredible city. So if you know somebody who deserves recognition, please nominate them at WeBuiltThisCity.com. That's WeBuiltThisCity.com. Where would you like to start this morning, Shine?
Greg, let's begin with Coach Prime. We have talked a ton about NIL money in college sports on this very program, and Prime was asked about the NIL and how it's shaping college football at Big 12 Media. Here is what Dion had to say.
How do you believe NIL should be guardrailed now, especially with the revenue sharing?
I wish it was a cap. You know, like the top of the line player makes this. And if you're not that type of guy, you know you're not going to make that. That's what the NFL does. So the problem is you got a guy that's not that darn good, but he could go to another school and they give him $500,000, and you can't compete with that. That don't make sense. And you're talking about equality, not equality, like equal. I guess it was equality. And all you have to do is look at the playoffs and see what those teams spent, and you understand darn near why they're in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of hard to compete with somebody who's giving $25-30 million to a darn freshman class.
Right.
It's crazy. We're not complaining because all these coaches up here could coach their butts off and give them the right opportunity with the right players and play here and there, you'll be there. But it's what's going on right now don't make sense. And we want to say stuff, but we're trying to be professional. But you're going to see the same teams darn near at the end and with somebody who sneaks up in there. But the team that pays the most is going to be there in it.
Well, to me, that don't make sense because it's similar to the NFL, because you're going to pay a guy what you believe he's worth. So if that guy is worth $500,000 at another school.
But what he's saying is there's not all schools are equal when it comes to the money that they can spend on it.
No, I get that part of it.
So, like, we were talking the other day about the tackle.
Texas Tech.
Who's getting $5 million at Texas Tech. Like,
right.
There are just schools that cannot do that. It's not fair. It's not equitable.
Right, but that's like having the starting point of believing that all the schools are equitable before NIL.
Right.
If you're touring schools and you're an athlete, you go to one school and they have a brand new locker room, brand new workout room, all brand new dorms, and you go to another school and it's stuff dating back to the 80s.
So Michigan,
it's already starting from a point
Michigan,
where it's not
FSU,
equal.
FSU, whatever, have always had an advantage anyway.
Right.
So all those schools have. Like the kid who's going to Texas Tech, for example, they obviously got a nice big boost because Patrick Mahomes helped redo their facilities. So Texas Tech,
you got it.
I got it. Has the ability to pay him $5 million because they have the donors that are willing to do that. If BC doesn't have it, it's not on Texas Tech to be like, oh, we need to pay the kids the same amount of money that BC kids get paid or NC State, depending on the school. Because if your school's bringing in a lot of money because of football, then that's on the football program to say, we can afford to pay this guy that. Yeah. Why should they have to go?
I mean, prior to it being where it is now, Deion had an advantage because there were kids that wanted to go and play for Deion Sanders, right?
So, just like Nick Saban always had an advantage because people wanted to play for Nick Saban.
UNC is hoping the bill provides that advantage.
And they're also now getting money from the alumni and these other people who go, oh, look, we have Deion. Deion's going to help turn this program around, so I want to invest the same way. You'll have the alumni down in North Carolina going, oh, Bill Belichick, let's give him money. So now Bill Belichick can say, we'll give this quarterback 2 years, $8 million. The same with Deion, when 2 years prior to that, Colorado stunk and they couldn't get the same money.
So you're saying sour grapes from Deion Sanders.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Okay. All right, what's next, Sean?
Well, Greg, Mark Wahlberg was hanging out with Tom Brady and made some comments that seemed a little interesting about the Las Vegas Raiders. Here was Mark Wahlberg.
You know, it's crazy because we're going to end up, and I know people are going to give me a lot of for this, but I live in Vegas.
Okay.
Yeah. Tom's got a piece of the Raiders. Oh. A lot of my friends just got a piece of the Raiders. I went to six Raiders home games last year. Yeah. I didn't make it to any New England games because I live far away. I started driving my car. Golf cart just got painted black. Well, I didn't even know it.
Oh, no, he did it on purpose.
Painted black.
I love it.
At least they put the municipal logos instead of the Raider logo. But listen, could easily find me being that you listen, I'm on the home team.
Whoa.
Oh, come on, Mike.
I'm out on Marky Mark. He's going to be an owner of the Raiders. He blows out. He has zero faith in the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl.
Left at halftime.
Coming back against the Falcons. And now he's going to be an owner of the Raiders. I'm done. I will never see another Marky Mark movie.
Then again, though, Greg, he's our friend. He did appear on the program.
So what? I don't care about that. I'm done with him.
I don't mind you having a piece of the Raiders and owning money and investment, but you got to be like, I have a little piece, but my heart and my ties bleed with New England.
No, he didn't say that. He said he hasn't been to a Patriots game since he left early in the Super Bowl.
And it would be different if the
Patriots... And then blamed it on his kids being sick, which is the ultimate.
If the Patriots were still like a 10-win team plus, then you'd be like, oh, you want to go cheer for the Raiders? Whatever, have fun. But this is the time when you're supposed to show your loyalty.
Yeah. And he's like, well, it's a far way away from New England.
Yeah.
Bro, every time I see you, you're on a PJ going somewhere. You can't get a private jet from Vegas to Boston.
I'm going to call him Fairweather Mark.
Yeah.
Going forward.
Can't do that.
Maybe he's just like Curtis. Maybe he's just a Tom Brady fan.
So then is he going to jump on the...
Okay, what is he, seven? Like, come on. Yeah.
Is he going to jump on the new basketball team that goes to Vegas and go, you know what, now my heart lies with them?
The Athletics are moving to Vegas, right? Am I right about that?
Yeah.
That was the plan,
All right, what's next?
Well, Greg, Derek White, very glad to be staying with the Boston Celtics. Here was Derek White on NBC Sports Boston talking about being still in Boston.
I didn't feel too worried about anything. My agent and Brad have been talking, and like all the other rumors and stuff, I wasn't really too worried about. Or I feel like it's cool to be wanted by other teams, but I wanted to stay in Boston, and I was glad they wanted to keep me.
Listen, The man gave up his teeth for us. I'm delighted that he's here.
And twice.
I'm sure you are as well, right? We got to talk Celtics with you because you are our Celtics insider. So maybe at 8:20, I want your thoughts on this team and where they are going.
That sounds good.
Does that sound good?
I'm very happy Derek White is still here. I think he is a core piece of what the Celtics are going to be looking to do in the future. So unless somebody gave up the farm for him completely, right. I just don't think that they were going to move on from him.
Where are you on Al Horford? He's probably gone, right?
Yes. So Brad Stevens said the other day he's likely gone. Yeah. And that's sad. I like losing Kristaps Porzingis and Drew Holiday is sad. With Al Horford, it just was, to me, in my mind, like never really going to line up in terms of his age, what he's probably going to get, right. which is going to be like probably over $9 million a year.
Right.
And what the Celtics are doing with their spending this year just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. And why not? Al probably wants to go to a contender if he knows he's only going to play another year or two. Go to a team like Golden State, or you know, I think maybe Cleveland was interested.
He might retire still.
Yeah, he might do that.
I mean, Wiggy, you tell me, like, he's 39, he's got a wife and kids. If the only real option is Golden State, that makes sense. Maybe Denver. He's telling his family, like, we're going to pack everything up for 1 year and move out there.
Well, maybe they won't go, but he'll, like, if he's, because I always look at it like this. If you want to retire, like, you know you want to retire, you might think about it for a little bit, but at the end of the day, you go, you know what? I'm done. When you're kind of like, that means that's telling me you still want to play. You're just looking for that right spot to play that final season. And I think he still wants to play, and he's just waiting to see what team that is where he can go, all right, I know what my role's going to be.
Like if it's the Warriors or something like that, and he gets $9 million and he feels like they could be close, then he's...
And I know what my role is. Maybe I start in Golden State, but I'm not playing a ton of minutes because, you know, they're going to make sure they're taking care of me. And this is a team that's going to have the ability to contend. So I think Al's looking for that situation more than he wants to retire.
All right, that is They Said It. Quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports. And we will get to today's news next without Courtney. Shine, you handling the news today?
I sure am, Greg. Ew. I'm ready.
Woo!
BDE over there.
What can I say? I'm rocking and rolling.
Okay, we'll get to the news next. Sorry. Ongoing argument between Wiggy and Mego this morning, which we can delay it. But it was the argument is over the last great Mark Wahlberg film. Since Mark Wahlberg is investing in the Las Vegas Raiders and claims to be the biggest Patriots fan in the history of Patriots fans. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it was. Yeah, and
you don't get that from Donnie, by the
no,
way.
No, Donnie.
Donnie is a Celtics stan.
Yes.
I feel like Mark Wahlberg is just a Tom Brady simp.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
No offense to the man.
No, which,
I mean,
you know,
if you're going to be a simp for, if you're going to be a simp for anybody, it would be the greatest to ever do it.
Right, but when you're at a certain age, like Mark Wahlberg's closer to our age, where if you're a Pats fan, you're a Pats fan before Brady got there. Right?
Yeah, you're like, a real fan.
Same with Donnie Wahlberg. Like, if Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum went to another team, Donnie's not going to go, you know what? I live in Vegas.
I don't think he would.
Tatum plays in Vegas. You know?
I don't think he would do that.
No.
It's all about Tom Brady. And fine, whatever. But, like, don't claim that you're the biggest Patriots fan that there ever was. And then suddenly you're going to be an owner of the Raiders?
It's phony.
Like, yeah. No, it's phony.
And the movie Mago and I were talking was Flight Risk.
What was it?
Flight Risk, where Mark Wahlberg just, I thought it was a good movie.
I don't think I haven't seen it. I'd be hard pressed to figure out what his last great film was. It might have been that one where he was the hitman.
Oh, but he was also a dad.
What?
Yeah, he was like a father, and he had like a former double life.
Yeah, the family plan.
No, not that one.
Oh, not
that
one.
I could not bring myself to watch.
I think Bridget Moynihan was in that one.
Like, I don't even know these movies that he's been in.
Flight Risk, he played a hitman.
That stunk.
Where
everybody in Twitch says that stunk.
Which one, Family Plan or
Flight Risk?
I thought it was a pretty good movie. He plays a hitman, and, you know, and he's make believes he's flying the plane for, I can't remember who the actress was, and she's she's in law enforcement taking a witness from Denver to New York, and through the whole flight, you know, he's trying to kill the guy and the cop.
I feel like he was back in the Boogie Nights days, or even Invincible. I like that movie, about the dude, the regular dude who went to play for the Eagles.
Yeah, Vince Papale.
Vince Papale. Mm-hmm. Like, I like that. Like
Pain and Gains, you like that?
Yeah.
Shooter was fantastic.
Shooter, that's the one I'm talking about. What I said earlier, the hitman. He's like the trained military guy.
It's a sniper.
Shooter, yeah. That's a great, great film.
Bob Lee Swagger.
But that's... Like, you're going back now 7 or 8 years when he had, like, now.
Oh, it might be more than that.
I think he peaked, with The Fighter.
Even the one that he was on, The Fighter was great. Even the one that he was on promoting with us,
Father Stew.
Not that good.
What was that?
That was where he was like a prisoner who turned priest.
Yeah.
Oh.
So it's, you know, I think he's more in.
Not a fan of the Transformers movies, Greg?
No.
Well, but I feel like
Transformers.
He's more superstar now, so he's
Fear early in his career was right, but excellent.
Those were early, where I think he's more in that superstar kind of range of movie making, where everything he does now is big action and there's not like a whole bunch of like acting in there.
On the text line, Three Kings.
Yeah, that was early.
Never seen it.
You haven't?
No, I've heard it's great. I've never seen it.
George Clooney's in it.
Ice Cube.
It's really, really good. That's a great movie.
Four Brothers was good that he was also in. Did you see Four Brothers?
Yeah.
That was a good one. So
it was good. His role in Ted, both of the Ted films. Mm-hmm.
Did you like the revamped Spencer for Hire?
No.
What is that?
No, that's not.
Give him credit. He seems to work a lot. He makes a lot of movies.
Did you just say Courtney?
I keep calling him Courtney. Mego.
You think sorry. When it comes to names.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Spencer for Hire?
Well, you're not
from around here. It was a great TV show.
It came from books. I read the books.
Okay, I didn't know.
Robert Parker.
Yes.
Robert Parker wrote the books.
I remember the TV.
Sick brag, bro.
Show. Spencer was like, what was he? He's a private eye?
Yeah,
Sick brag, bro.
He's a private dick.
Yeah, and his boy Hawk was this black dude.
That's what they call him, Chime. You don't have to talk
I didn't even go anywhere near it. I know exactly what you're talking about.
And his boy Hawk was this black dude, and he was so cool back then in like the 80s. And they went around Boston and they did solved crimes.
Good. It was pretty good. Great, great novels. And the series was pretty
good. Yeah, the series was good.
We get
imagine
it, Greg,
the crimes. The crimes they'd solve now. They'd be like, open the bike lane, make sure it's open.
Oh, and then Hawk would come in and he'd be like, What do you need, Spencer?
I have to get to the bike related thing that I was gonna do as my lead. We could do it as what are we doing later. Mm-hmm. Maybe at 8:45, Sean. Remind me about that.
Sorry, Mego, for calling.
All good. I don't know why. It's like me calling the Rockies the Yankees. We all have our slip ups.
All right, let's start with the news, and then we'll continue, if we could, please.
Sure thing, Greg. So in Attleboro, they're warning about venomous snakes after a dog was attacked. The Attleboro community is being extra cautious after first responders say a copperhead snake potentially attacked two dogs in the same area, which is extremely rare. A firefighter sent out a warning saying the two dogs were recently bitten near the 10 Mile River and Milk Street, and reports say it's a copperhead snake. One dog owner in the same area says his dog was bitten by a snake and died in April.
Wow.
We can hear from Lieutenant Corey Blaze with the Attleboro Fire Department on WBZ.
Very rare in this area, so we do have copperheads and rattlesnakes in the area, but it's not common. Stay out of tall grass, stay on the paths, watch your pets, watch your children.
Wow. Gonna need a Copperhead Road rejoin from Steve Earle, Sean. But we don't have... We generally don't have, a lot of rattlesnakes. I know we do have some, but we don't have, the dangerous, deadly snakes around here.
Not warm enough.
Yeah, I didn't think so. I thought that was a Texas thing.
Yeah, they're reptiles, so they get their body heat directly from the sun, and so that's why you see a lot more of the deadly snakes in, deserts and stuff, because it's always warm.
And are they alleging that it is the same evil snake that is going after all of these dogs, just one copperhead, or is there a gaggle of...
Like a gang of copperheads?
What would you call... There's a name for a group of snakes.
Posse.
No, it's not posse.
Not posse, okay.
No, it's not.
Not a posse of snakes?
It's like a nest. Maybe they use the nest word. I know. Isn't that
how big is this snake?
I mean...
So a group of snakes... A group of snakes can be referred to by several collective nouns, including a den, a bed, a pit, a knot, a nest, or a slither.
Yeah.
Ooh, I like a slither.
Right. Yeah, no, I just got I got a text.
A slither of snakes.
I got a text from Courtney. She says it's 7 feet, but it's actually only 3 feet. All right. We're going to we'll take a quick break.
Seven is dominated the world, though.
We are going to get to the rest of the news with Shime coming up next.